Welcome to University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamrick. A new show at the Maxwell Museum of Anthropology uses photography to explore a traumatic time for the Navajo people. Nothing Left for Me, Federal Policy, and the Photography of Milton Snow in Dene Pekea examines the brutal impact of the Navajo Livestock Reduction Program imposed upon Dene communities and homelands by U.S. Indian Commissioner John Collier. The program began in the 1930s and proposed to eliminate over half of Dene livestock herds. Resistance meant imprisonment. The Maxwell Museum exhibit on the University of New Mexico campus explores this period through the photos of Milton Jack Snow. He was a non-native photographer hired by the Navajo Service in 1937 to document the federal government's supposedly well-intentioned program to address the quote-unquote Navajo problem. I spoke with co-curators Lilia McEnany and Professor Jennifer Dennettdale, Chair of American Studies at UNM. We'll begin with some remarks Professor Dennettdale made at the opening, then hear an interview with her and her co-curator.
The stories from Dene tell us much about how we and our ancestors regarded livestock gifted to us from the Holy Ones. The stories tell us of the wealth in livestock, seasonal patterns of moving with the sheep and goats for pastures and watering holes, of children's rites of passage that included their responsibility for the domestic animals. It was an education for how to live a wealthy and healthy life. Snow's images of men and women moving about with energy and with determination to make the land bear fruit once again. Teams of men channeling water to nourish cornfields, work gangs that created dams for reservoirs, images of underground food storage facilities. They offer space to think of how we sustained ourselves by living off the land with the livestock, of farming, of moving seasonally with the livestock. We gaze at the portraits, look at the details of the women's long flowing skirts, the velvet blouses trimmed with American coins, the images of men in cowboy jeans, shirts, and suit jackets, like those worn by the flood of federal official bureaucrats, bringing their technologies of knowledge to rehabilitate the land and us. Today, settler colonial archives continue to shape our relationships with the colonizers, from settler government relations that become laws and policies to surveil and manage us. They become the means to justify and rationalize ongoing dispossession and injustices. Colonial archives become the means to sustain racialization that is the underpinning of racism and discrimination. The exhibition is an occasion to think about the transitions that happened under John Collier's administration and how his policies still shape Dene life, including land use, the state of Navajo governance and sovereignty, the history of natural resources development, and Navajo nationalism. Collier's legacy includes the Dene dependence on a wage economy and overall a general sense of language and cultural loss. Dene stories conveyed through collective memory refuse the official government story that livestock reduction policies have successfully rehabilitated the land and lives. The exhibition has us think about what is outside the borders of the official story, Dene resistance to federal policies as traditions of resistance to structures of settler colonialism. Collier's insistence that elected Navajo leaders relay to their people the policies also earned them distrust and disdain. Not surprisingly, Snow's images do not indicate the amount of Navajo resistance and refusal of Collier's policies. Dene resisted livestock policies because they saw their animals as gifts from their holy people who offered them as the foundation for their way of life. Dene elder Marilyn Help relayed about the shock of slaughtering the sheep and goats. She said, "You people are heartless. You have now killed me. You have cut off my legs. You have cut off my arms. You have taken my head off. There's nothing left for me."
My name is Lilia McEnany, and I am the co-curator of Nothing Left for Me at UNM.
Jennifer Dennettdale, and the co-curator.
Talk about who John Collier was and this program he implemented.
Collier implemented livestock reduction policies after hearing about decades of reports since the late 19th century into the early 20th century about the condition of Navajo land as a result of what was seen as an overpopulation of sheep, goats, and horses. The land had been denuded of grasses, resulting in topsoil blowing away, massive gullying, and there was also a drought condition.
I would also say that Collier's policies were implemented in ignorance of Dene land management practices that had existed for millennia beforehand, and a lot of these policies, even though there were very real tangible issues happening with the land, it was part of the federal government's larger goal of diminishing Dene lifeways.
What was the impetus for doing the show?
I am a historian, and I have spent my life studying Dene history, and I became interested in the photographs of Milton Snow. And that took me to my research during this period in Navajo history, which is often known as the livestock reduction era, 1930s and 40s. And Milton Snow was a Navajo service employee from 1937 to 1957. And so he took photographs of the conditions of Navajo life in the aftermath of livestock reduction. Livestock reduction physically ended in 1937.
They had to get rid of half their stock?
Collier had mandated a 50% livestock elimination. Pretty much what happened was the destruction of economy based on livestock raising.
Talk more about who Milton Snow was, who took these photos. I know he was employed by the federal government, but he lived there for a long time. Yes,
Milton Snow was the official photographer for the Navajo service, and he grew up in Los Angeles. He was first a photographer of archaeology, of archaeological ruins. He came into Northern Arizona and worked with the Museum of Northern Arizona taking photographs of excavations. And then he moved into taking pictures of live indigenous people, Dene and Hopi. His objective or his mission was to take pictures, photographs that are considered documentary to show the condition of the land, but also to show how Collier's policies were improving by bringing in Western technologies to rehabilitate the land, but also to rehabilitate the people.
Milton Snow's work is a really interesting case study in kind of two things being true at once. So Snow, as a non-Native photographer coming into an Indigenous community, really as an outsider, right, contributing to this larger history of the history of photography with Indigenous communities and with Dene communities in particular being a really harmful legacy. But Snow's images for Dene people today also provide a really wonderful glimpse into life at that period of time, and people are able to recognize their family members and their friends and everything in these photographs. So it's a really interesting, like I said, case study of two things being true at once.
What do you feel when you look at the photographs, Professor Dennett?
You know, my Dene people are familiar with the images because they are connected, or they bring up visions, thoughts about what life previously was like when people relied upon and cared for livestock. And so my people often take the photographs as a time when life was based on livestock raising. And so with this exhibition, I think about my people and I think about how they might think of these photographs and how this might be a site for renewed storytelling, you know.
Do you see a difference in his photographs versus other photographs around that time or the early to mid-20th century?
I would defer mainly to Dr. Jeanette on this, but yes, I think you can really see, especially in the portraits, the body language of folks is really different. You can see that there's some type of relationship between the photographer and the subject, rather than in a lot of, for example, Edward Curtis photographs, it's very evident that those people do not want to be photographed, and that being photographed is an invasion of their privacy and of their space and of their sense of self. And in Snow's photographs, you really don't get that sense for the most part.
Do you sense that, a relationship between him and the people he's photographing?
Milton Snow had physical disabilities, and he shook very badly. He also had a speech impediment, which made it very difficult to understand him. And so you think about this person with these disabilities living among the Navajo people for at least 30 years, and that what we know about his life, we have to see through the lens of his camera. And I think by all accounts, he had a friendly relationship with the Navajo people. I think he went beyond the scope of his mission as a photographer, and he took pictures of homes, of there's beautiful portraitures of women, of little dogs sitting near a water barrel, you know, just incredible photographs.
I was curious how you juxtapose the images with then the narratives next to the photos.
Yeah, so almost all of the photographs are accompanied by a quote from a Diné person who experienced livestock reduction or whose family experienced livestock reduction. And that's especially important, especially given the fact that the show is focused on a non-Native photographer, to make sure that the Diné stories of resistance and refusal of these histories is being foregrounded.
I'm a historian, I'm an academic. My usual foray is writing academic articles and books. So this has been a really wonderful experience for me to move what I've done for more than 10 years into something that people can see. It's a very different kind of format for me, you know, and it's one that I want people to come and look at these and look at the reflection panels and to think about this period in American history and in Diné history and think about the present as well as the conditions of Navajo life today.
What is the lingering impact of the policies implemented at this time that we see in the photos?
One of the things that's stark and very, very like in your face is the installation of patriarchy. We are continue to be a matrilineal people. And under the federal government's directives and orders began the emphasis that leadership belongs to men. The fashioning of a tribal council, the efforts to create delegates, which, you know, we still have nomination delegates now, and for them to come together and draft a constitution was entirely all men. They just never assumed or saw that women had leadership roles, and yet it was women who owned a vast majority of the livestock. It was women who dictated land use. It was women who, if you can call it, owned the homes and had authority over children. And so that's a major shift.
Why do you think that happened? Was it an imposition of Collier's, what he wanted to see happen?
I think it's just the natural order of the settler world and the order of the settler state, that it's patriarchal and that it's a natural for them that men are the leaders. And it hasn't always been like that with Navajo people.
Can you talk a bit more about how the policies clash with Navajo lifeways and culture, and the importance of having livestock?
Livestock has been and continues to be an integral part of Diné life, ranging from economics to cultural to kind of all-encompassing areas of life for Diné people. And there was significant resistance to these policies. There were town meetings, there were community gatherings, there were just enormous amounts of conversation in communities about how this is just an unacceptable course for the future of the community. And I think that's something that is not shown in the photographs, but something that we really foreground in the text itself.
I mean, I think one of the things that has been interesting to me about studying Milton Snow's photographs is what's outside of the borders, because Snow's directive from federal officials was to show favorable light on federal Indian policies, that Navajo people appreciated and embraced these, the introduction of Western technologies, including day schools, including trying to improve watering spots, irrigation techniques, demonstration sites where they would reserve a piece of land and then do their technologies to rehabilitate the land to show Navajo people, see, this can be done. And then there's a lot of also photographs of the beginnings of the tribal council, and it's all men, and they're dressed in Western style clothes. You
know. Was everything that was introduced, you're talking about the irrigation, things like that, was it all detrimental? Was some of it beneficial?
Well, that's a question I always ask when someone asks me that. I said, if you want to answer that question, look at the current conditions on Navajo land, that we have a very high rate of people who need housing. We have a lack of access to clean and safe water. The livestock permit system, which was installed during this period, only allows for people to have a few sheep, you know, and people who do have sheep pretty much have to bring it in from border towns. Hay, they have to transport water, you know, and so I think it's a period where our people look back and reflect on how they had sustained themselves based on livestock raising.
This is University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamrick, and I'm speaking with the co-curators of a new show at the Maxwell Museum of Anthropology, Lilia McEnany and Professor Jennifer Dennettdale. It focuses on the livestock reduction program that began in the 1930s and resulted in widespread, harmful, and long-term changes throughout the Diné homeland. When we walked around the exhibit together, Professor Dennettdale's intern, Katie Yellowhair, occasionally read the stories next to the pictures, which are from oral histories of people who lived through the livestock reduction period.
We started the exhibition by foregrounding sense of place and landscape and community and home, and kind of making sure that visitors had an understanding of the importance of sense of place before moving into the more difficult topics of historical trauma to further contextualize the importance and impact that this policy had. So in this section of Snow's exhibition, we are juxtaposing his work with those of a contemporary photographer, Raphael Begay. Begay is a really up-and-coming, incredible photographer whose work speaks really deeply to connections to home, sense of place, sense of community. And in this area of the exhibition in particular, we are looking at Diné practices of meat drying and working with buckskin. And this, by juxtaposing Snow's photographs with Raphael's, you really get a sense of intergenerational knowledge and continuous Diné cultural practices.
Mm-hmm. These photographs, like this one, we were especially drawn to and selected because they are images such as this one, where there's a boy in the foreground and you see meat drying. Mm-hmm. And so for Navajo people who look at this, this might bring up stories about food sovereignty, about food storage, and what they used to use. Every part of a sheep, for example, you see the pelts down at the bottom. Those were for sleeping. They were mattresses. And then you see the meat up there that's going to be jerked and dried. These portraits are just so incredibly beautiful. You can tell, I think, by looking at them that they're looking straight at the camera. They don't look like they were resisting, that maybe he gave them time to think about the way that they wanted to be posed, what they were wearing, what they wanted to bring into the picture, like he's carrying or holding his saddle. And then this one man has his child. And then just the beauty of their faces, the look in their eyes. I look at their eyes and I think about, you know, what were they thinking? What was their life like during that time? And so this, I just love the portraits. I think they're so beautiful. We decided that this wall was what we wanted to talk about was K'e, which is Navajo forms of kinship. Many times Snow left the name and the date and the places on the photographs, and a lot of photographers of this time didn't do that. Neither did they do it earlier in the 19th century. And so Navajo people will most likely come forward and say, that's my relative, you know. And so there's a sense of kinship with the past. There's a sense of community that we also wanted to draw upon with these portraits. Just the precision of these images is pretty amazing.
From a curatorial perspective, I do want to highlight that in each section of the exhibition, we have reflection questions for visitors to kind of think about how these topics that for a non-Native visitor might seem really far away from their own lives relates to them. For example, in the section on K'e, kinship, we have questions asking, do you have family portraits at home? If so, who took them? How do you understand kinship in your own life? And then in this section here on Collier, the two questions are, how would you react if your way of life was threatened by outside forces? And how is land thought about in your own community?
Hi, my name is Katie Yellowhair. The title of this art piece is called Cornfield and Dry Lake, just above Tolani Lake. It's by Mose Denajoli, and they said, about the reduction, we worried about it. And I think some of the elderly men died from the worry.
I really did want to think about emphasizing Navajo people's sense of this past. You won't find it in the official documents. You'll find it in oral histories and in their collective memory.
So a lot of the quotes in here actually came from a book that was published by Dene College in the 70s. We actually have a copy of it in the reading area over there. It came from about a decade of Dr. Danette Dale's personal research into this time period.
There's a photo of men digging dams. That was not something that was in Dene way.
One of the things about promises that Collier made was that if they reduced their livestock, he would bring in federal relief funds. And this is also the time of the Great Depression. So you had public works, you had Conservation Corps money that they could draw upon. And so the replacing reliance on livestock raising with wage work. And so this is really a period when you have the beginnings of a reliance on wage labor. And so these men are working and being paid by public works.
Could I have you read this?
Yeah. So it says, Martin Johnson Dene of Tisnaz Bus, Arizona, remembers being told to let loose 75 goats as of today. Refusal to do so would result in incarceration. We were given $75, and there, inside the corral, the Navajo men who worked for the government slaughtered every one of our goats. There was blood running everywhere in the corral as we just stood there and watched. My wife was the one who had raised the sheep and goats in her younger years. She cried about her goats as they were killed.
That's brutal.
This was a very brutal period. I mean, the trauma of the livestock reductions has the same kind of resonance that Navajo people accord to their experiences during Huelte, their subjugation by Kit Carson and their removal to the Bosque Redondo at Fort Sumner. Collier had wanted to halt the removal of children and take them to boarding schools, and he started day schools on Navajo because, you know, he believed in cultural pluralism and the relevancy of cultural practices. And so he began opening up day schools.
That's interesting. So I'm assuming he thought what he was doing with the livestock reduction program would benefit Dene
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm. He thought he was a benefactor.
So before having a day school, they would have been taken to boarding school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some Navajos in the period were assimilationists, and they argued that boarding schools were beneficial. But it wasn't everybody who thought that.
So the exhibition ends with a reading and reflection area where Dr. Dene Dale and I selected some really pivotal books in Dene studies and museum anthropology to further contextualize the experiences and perspectives that were presented in the exhibition. And we also continued the theme of having reflection questions throughout the show and asking folks to reflect on the history of photography and the history of livestock production as these two parallel themes in the ways in which American settler colonialism continues to operate and operated historically, coming together in hopefully a really generative space for visitors of the Maxwell to come together to think more deeply and critically about these issues.
I'm just really appreciative of this opportunity, and that the Maxwell Museum has just seen that this is really just a really wonderful showcase of the life's work of Milton Jack Snow. I'm told that in his lifetime, he never received recognition for his achievements, and that I think this is a really wonderful opportunity to show his achievements.
That was Lilia McEnany and Professor Jennifer Dene Dale, their co-curators of Nothing Left for Me, Federal Policy and the Photography of Milton Snow and Dene Bikea at the Maxwell Museum of Anthropology. Also in the exhibit is work by a contemporary Dene photographer.
Hello everyone, my name is Raphael Begay. I am one who walks around, born for the Red House Clan. I am Water's Edge as well as Salt People. I'm a independent curator and a cultural landscape photographer based in Render Rock, Arizona, on the Navajo Nation.
Tell me a bit about your work that's here as part of the show.
Sure. So that's all res. All res growing up was this negative connotation of life on the reservation for me. with this exhibition and with this project, it was an opportunity to reclaim that verbiage and own it and showcase the pride of being Diné, whether that's through land, kinship, home, and life. But this project itself is a collaborative initiative to bring photographs that were initially featured here at the UNM Maxwell Museum back home to the reservation. So a lot of the photographs are depictions and visual blessings of that the reservation offers. And I'd like to return that back to my people as well as my community and remind them of the beauty and strength that's within their backyard. So this was a museum exhibition that opened in 2019, and that was co-curated with Deborah Romanak, the former curator here at the Maxwell. It was just outside of school, and I had an opportunity to showcase a body of work that I've been working on for a number of years, which I dub as cultural landscape photographs of the reservation. So there's images of home in terms of the Hogan, ecological relationships such as a res dog, but also these beautiful roadside attractions that make for, you know, rural creative placemaking. And it's my opportunity to document it as well as share it and hopefully use the images as a conduit for storytelling, for a way of making connections and trying to understand the world in which we live.
Now, I understand it will return back to Navajo with Axel Contemporary.
Right. So Axel Contemporary has done work on the reservation itself, particularly around the Navajo Nation Fair as well as the Gallup Flea Market. But this is a different approach in terms of bringing the photographs to all five regional agencies within the Navajo Nation. At each stop, we have an opportunity to invite local storytellers as well as local knowledge keepers to share cultural teachings, a memory, an exercise in radical memory, if anything, an opportunity to use the visual elements within the imagery to conjure up stories and ways of understanding the life we live.
How do you see your work in juxtaposition with Mr. Snow's work?
Something that I pride myself with in my work is the notion of visual sovereignty, obviously referencing sovereignty through self-determination. But I think something I learned during COVID was that if you don't tell your story, someone else will. And I think for a long time, even looking back at these traditional images of our people and our past, it is through the lens of someone else. All Res, as well as the work that I do, is an opportunity for Diné storytellers and creatives to speak to their own inherent experience, as well as the lessons learned, the cultural teachings that allow them to show up as their best Diné self and being a good relative.
That was Diné photographer Raphael Biguet talking about his work, All Res. It's part of the show Nothing Left For Me, Federal Policy and the Photography of Milton Snow and Diné Bikeya at the Maxwell Museum of Anthropology. It will be on display until May 3rd, 2025. You can find this interview and all our previous interviews at KUNM.org. Thanks to Associate Professor David Bashwinner for our theme music. I'm Megan Kamrick. Thanks for listening to University Showcase.